afternoon. This is a meeting of the State Title Setting Board. Today is October 4th. It's 1 o'clock. We're meeting in the Aspen Conference Room at the Secretary of State's Office, 1700 Broadway, Denver, Colorado. We have two matters on the agenda today, initiatives 48 and 50. And the first one is state legislative redistricting. And if the proponents could come up, introduce themselves, and take it from there.
Good afternoon. My name is Ben Larson with the law firm of Ireland Stapleton Pryor and Pascoe. I'm here today on behalf of the designated representatives, Kathleen Curry and Tony Larson, the proponents of both numbers 48 and 50. And they're here today with me.
Okay. And we're going to start with 48. And on 48, could you just tell us what you believe the single subject of your measure is?
Yes. On number 48, the single subject is state legislative redistricting.
Any questions from the board on single subject?
I think it might be helpful because I believe these measures, 48 and 50, are in response in terms of the approach you've taken to a Supreme Court decision last cycle and that was based on single subject. And so if you could just address how 48 perhaps takes care of the issues that the court talked about on, I think it was 132 and 133.
Sure. So with respect to number 48, the initiative takes care of the issues raised by the Supreme Court by, of course, separating out state legislative redistricting from congressional redistricting, which is addressed in number 50. So that would be point number one. The second point is that the Supreme Court took issue with using the Judicial Nominating Commission, which is an existing commission, using that commission to appoint members of the redistricting commission last time around. This time around, we are not using the Supreme Court Nominating Commission, so that issue has been resolved. And I would say the third point, there was a footnote in the Supreme Court's opinion. It was footnote 2. It basically said that the court was not going to take a position on the use or, excuse me, on the prohibition of lobbyists. But we have excluded that prohibition, and it's not in either initiatives 48 or 50. Okay. So I think we have squared away all those issues.
Okay, thank you.
Any questions? No. Anything else? Ready for a motion?
Sure. I would move, I believe.
Well, let me ask, is there anybody here who wishes to speak on single subject? Anyone signed up? No. Okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I believe that number 48 constitutes a single subject and that I move that we proceed to set a title for it.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All right. That takes us to the text of the initiative. And I know you have the staff draft, and I understand I didn't look at it this morning, but there was another draft that you had submitted with potential changes.
That's correct. So this morning we emailed Mr. Ward some proposed revisions to the staff draft. And I do have, I think you all have a copy, but if you don't, I did
do
bring.
Do I, Steve? I don't think I do.
So I did not include copies of that document in the packet, but Mr. Hobbs indicated that he would be bringing copies for the board. So
yeah. I've got.
So if we can
plenty.
Get copies, that'd be great.
Okay.
Thank you.
A copy of that document also appears on the board right now.
I'll just leave these here for anyone else.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm sure we all came with our own ideas too, but it's just discussion. I had a couple of these on my list too.
I'd be interested in hearing from the proponents as to the reason for the changes that they've proposed.
The primary reason is we wanted, well, of course, for it to be to call out the key issues, but we also wanted to sort of take what happened with numbers 132 and 133, where there was no issues with title, and that was something that we felt like, you know, there's no need to recreate the wheel. So we've placed, you know, 132 and 133, which were the initiatives from the last cycle, the titles here below, so you can, and highlighted, you know, where we've taken language and put it above to make just a couple of, I would say, fairly minor changes to the staff draft here. And I'm happy to walk through each one of them if you'd like.
I guess a specific question I have is, why do you think it's important to include in the title information about the number of commissioners and the, I guess, where they come from?
Well, I would say certainly one of the touchstones or linchpins of this is the fact that, you know, four of the 12 commissioners are not going to be affiliated with either of the state's two largest parties, and that was, of course, called out, and we think that's an important thing to call out in the title. And last time around, it was called out. This time around, we are doing the same thing, but we are also making it clear that there will be four from each of the two largest political parties. I think that's just a little bit more accurate.
I mean, I, you know, last time I think we thought it was important to put something in about the number, and I continue to believe that's important. And so I think in general I agree with that addition. I had a couple that, and we also had the nonpartisan staff. I thought that was important. Which I think is to be distinguished between someone who's not affiliated and someone who's not partisan. I did have a question about, or I guess I was going to suggest striking, adding to the criteria the commission must follow compliance with the Federal Voting Rights Act. I think that's true anyway. I don't know what that does in the criteria. I guess I'm concerned it'll be a little catchy, you know, people who wouldn't agree with the Voting Rights Act, but to put something in there that is already a part of redistricting, I think is a little unnecessary. I also like adding competitive rather than maximizing, which is, I think, the way we wrote it last time. So those are some of my thoughts.
And I just have a couple questions. If we go with your suggestion of being much more detailed in terms of the number of commissioners and how that all breaks out, it seems like we wouldn't need the language in the phrase that appears right before your addition in terms of changing the number, qualification, and method, which was sort of a more generalized way of addressing those issues without all the details. If you're providing the details, I assume we don't need that general statement. Would that be true?
Just the part about changing the number?
The methods of appointment, I mean, whether just the affiliation is enough, I mean, the fact that each of those parties appoint, whether or not you need some of the statement or not, that's sort of my question to you, is one question.
You know, I would say the part that could probably be omitted is the part about the number, but I still think that the qualifications and the methods of appointment are not, you know, exactly the same as the affiliation issue.
Okay. And then if we're going to go into a lot of detail, I'm just sort of curious in terms of the limitations on where these individuals are from in terms of geographic areas in the state, in terms of whether that should be included or not. I mean,
yeah. I mean, I see where you're coming from. You know, it's just a matter of brevity.
Some details, but not other details. I mean, do you put all of them in, or you have just the general statement? I'm trying to figure that one out.
I would say, you know, we're balancing the brevity requirement versus sort of highlighting the key points here. The point with respect to the four, sort of the breakdown with respect to political affiliations is, again, kind of critical to the initiative. So that's one that we felt like should be included. So that's sort of how we ended up there, and the fact that it was addressed last time around, at least with respect to calling out the four who are unaffiliated.
Okay. And then my last question has to do with and I know this tracks the language, but how the last four who are not affiliated with either of the two largest political parties. I know in the measures last time around, that group of appointees was, I think, described more in terms of unaffiliated voters or voters who had affiliated with minor political parties. And I'm just looking at it from a voter's perspective, whether people will understand if you're not affiliated, and I know this is what the text of the measure says, but if you're not affiliated with either of the two largest, whether that's clear that that includes unaffiliated voters. I mean, I understand that, but I don't know if that's very meaningful to voters. And as I think we did in the titles last time around, because again it was tracking the language, it did spell it out a little differently.
Yes, it did spell it out a little differently, and I think, and I want to confer with the proponents maybe for a second, but I think that we'd be willing to, you know, if the commission's if the board is more comfortable, we'd be willing to go back to the language used last time. Which does track precisely the language that's used in the initiatives, if you think that's clear.
But it is my understanding is correct in terms of if they're not affiliated with the two largest political parties, then they're either unaffiliated or they're affiliated with minor political
parties. That's exactly right.
Okay. Thank you.
So there's nothing in either the staff draft or your suggested revisions talking about the CORA or open meetings or public meeting aspect to it. Do you think any of that needs to be mentioned in the title?
I think that we would be fine with adding the fact that, you know, we're subjecting the commission to open records requirements. But again, it was us just trying to strike a balance between brevity and getting in the key parts of the initiatives. But we would be fine with that.
I'll start with the easy stuff.
Sure.
In terms of the phrase that starts on line 3 about changing the number of qualifications and methods of appointments of members. we strike the language, the number, comma, or I guess we need the, because it's changing the qualifications. So striking number, comma, and then also striking the comma after the word qualifications. I would move that change. Unless
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
I guess I would propose not saying what the new name is. I don't know that they're truly going to be. I mean, it just seems last time around we just said, I think we just said rename, or did we say what they were going to be? I just don't know that we need to say what the new name is. I think we could say renaming the commission. Or not even mention that it's going to be renamed. I don't know how important that is to anybody.
My initial reaction is I do think it's important to give that kind of notice. I mean, in terms of you're changing the name of an existing entity, I don't know that it's important to say what its new name is, especially since a legislative redistricting commission is a legislative redistricting commission in terms of function.
Right.
It's not very distinctive or perhaps meaningful to the voters, and so I'd be fine with that.
Any issue with that?
No.
Okay.
Do the proponents have any concern with taking out the highlighted language?
I would just say that, I mean, I think it is the name of what the commission is going to be. As far as, you know, the use of the word independent, that is, again, really the linchpin of what we're trying to accomplish here. But I understand the board's concerns. So, you know,
You can name it whatever you want.
Yeah.
You could name it a complete catchphrase. And
that's exactly.
We wouldn't put it in the title.
So I understand your concerns. So I'm fine with that.
And it does seem like that's a message in terms of any campaign you would be getting across to the voters, both in terms of the name of the commission as well as the intended purpose.
That's right.
All right. Then I'd move we just strike that language.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
On the next part, I guess I'd just toss out for discussion the whole unaffiliated, not affiliated. I mean, technically, it's people who have not declared an affiliation. I mean, being unaffiliated doesn't necessarily guarantee anything.
I mean, you know the election law.
Well,
much
I know.
Better than I do.
I just think it gets confused sometimes with nonpartisan, as though being unaffiliated therefore means you are not partisan, which is not really what being unaffiliated means. I mean, you could message that in a campaign, but the fact that you don't declare an affiliation doesn't make you nonpartisan. And so I'm just wondering if maybe we should put in there have not declared, so that we're not implying that the people that you're getting are in fact not affiliated in mind, I guess. I don't know how else to say that, but
But I assume to do so, to take that approach, then we have to add more language and make it longer in terms of, because we're still talking also about folks that have affiliated with minor political parties, and so it's almost, I mean, now you,
yeah,
it's two subcategories.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we can bookmark it and see if anybody comes in opposition with some language. I'm just concerned about how people confuse affiliation with partisanship. And
in terms of your concern, if in terms of the way the proponents have proposed the language and based on the text of the measure, in terms of folks who are not affiliated with the two largest political parties, do you have that same concern? I mean, obviously unaffiliated, haven't affiliated with any party. But in terms of your concern, does the proposed language, is that better than, I mean, in terms of...
I think the proposed language is better than what we had last time.
In terms of spelling it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just think I'm still a little bit concerned about that, but we can see if anybody else comes in to argue the other side.
So a slightly different issue in that same language. Just throw out there for the largest political party and second largest political party, instead of affiliated, registered for those first two, providing for the appointment of 12 commissioners, four of whom are registered with the state's largest political party, four of whom are registered with the state's second largest political party. I think that's the language in the text itself.
I think that would be a little bit more clear in terms of, it doesn't mean you think one way or the other, it just has to do with your registration. I mean, the other concern is, with as much media as we have about how the biggest group is unaffiliated, I mean, are people going to believe that unaffiliated, I mean, people who are unaffiliated commonly are, well, I'm independent. Well, that's not actually a party. That's a lack of affiliation. Are people going to get confused about that and believe that unaffiliateds are going to be the largest political party? I just don't. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff like that wrapped up in here.
And so if it's more accurate to say registered, that's fine, but then I do think that gets us into that box on the last portion of the clause, because you have folks that have registered with a political party other than the two largest, and then you have folks who are unaffiliated. And whether you can say they haven't registered with any party, I don't know if that's correct. I mean, they haven't.
Well, you could say four of whom are not registered with either of the state's two largest political parties.
No.
So the text from the initiative with respect to the four who are unaffiliated with either of the two largest political parties reads, four members must have each been unaffiliated with any political party or registered with a political party other than the state's two largest political parties for at least the 2 years prior. Just as some background. I don't see the same concerns with the use of the word affiliated, I think the way we've drafted it is fairly clear, but I just feel like it's clear what it means. You're not affiliated versus registered. I just don't draw the same distinction, I guess. But
well, I just think affiliation has a broader means. I agree with, or I mean, it's more of a, it can be more of a state of mind than just a technical check of a box. where registration, I think, is a little clearer that we're talking about people who check the box. We're not talking about what you really believe.
And again, relying on your election law expertise. So,
well, I mean, I think either is accurate from a legal perspective. I just think that somebody reading it could believe that we are somehow vetting whether somebody is affiliated, whether somebody has an agreement with, you know, the D's or the R's, rather than simply the only thing we're relying on is whether you check the box.
Right.
We're not going to go check and see if you ever showed up at a caucus, which, or
because it is true that an donated, unaffiliated voter is registered,
right,
just hasn't affiliated with a political party.
Right. They're registered, they're just not registered with either.
With the party.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think that last phrase is accurate and covers both groups. I mean, by default, if they haven't registered with the two largest, then.
Right.
You have
Did you ask me a question?
No,
I'm sorry.
I was just whether you had any more comments about the change we're proposing.
I understand that what Ms. Steyert has flagged, and frankly, we don't take a strong position either way. If that's what she feels is more accurate, then we don't object to that.
I think I'm comfortable with the change to terminology based on registration, and I think that helps us with that last phrase because I think it makes it a little clearer that they haven't registered, at this point in time, it's haven't registered Republican or Democrat.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm okay with the language as on the screen.
You want to move it?
Yeah. I move that we adopt the language shown on lines 3 through 6 in red line on the screen.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Do you have any comment on the Voting Rights Act portion?
It's a change that it's something that doesn't presently exist. I understand that the law applies, but it's a change that was made, and so we felt like it was critical to call out.
Yeah, my concern is, you could put something in there that says, "and everyone will have their First Amendment rights," and then am I going to put in a question, "and you shall have your First Amendment rights," and then people are going to say, "that's really important." And I'm going to vote on this because people deserve to have their First Amendment rights. So I just don't want to imply something doesn't exist and that you have to vote for this in order to get it to exist. I mean, it seems like the implication maybe is currently they don't have to comply with the Voting Rights Act. And if you vote for this, then you'll be doing this great thing by making them comply with the Voting Rights Act. And that's just not true.
If it really is sort of a housekeeping, what's being done is sort of housekeeping, because as you say, if the Voting Rights Act applies, then this is just making the list of criteria inclusive. I mean, it's not really changing anything.
No, it's not changing anything, but my concern is it looks like it is substantively making a change that I don't believe it's making.
Right.
I mean, yeah, we are adding it to the state constitution, so I guess that's just the reason why it's being flagged here.
Yeah. Well, you're adding lots of things to the state constitution, and not all of it's in the title.
Oh, that's true. We're not allowed.
All right, and then I'd move we remove the clause.
All of that language that.
Yeah. About the Voting Rights Act.
I'll second it.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right.
So So in the last question, when we got to the competitiveness, we didn't use the word maximizing. We said adding competitiveness to the criteria. I don't know how people feel about that. Since it's the last, isn't it the last one you consider? After everything else, then you consider competitiveness. I'm just not sure whether it's truly going to maximize anything. That seems sort of to be adding a...
I think the language in 47.4b says, to the extent possible, after meeting the other requirements of this section, the commission shall maximize the number of politically competitive legislative districts.
I think cutting it so that it just says maximizing implies that it's... going to have a big effect, because when you maximize something, you're doing something big.
Would it help if it said, to the extent possible, maximizing the number of competitive districts?
One suggestion, we could, so the opening clause is adding to the criteria that the commission must, and we could just go with maximize the number of competitive districts and prohibit drawing plans. Then we I think address the concern by inserting adding to the criteria will be, you know, adjacent to maximize the number of competitive districts. That's a bit cleaner as well.
I'm not sure I followed that.
He said so, maximize the number of competitive districts and prohibit. I'm taking the...
So it would read now, with what I'm proposing, it would read, adding to the criteria that the commission maximize the number of competitive districts, because we're striking the Voter Rights Act portion, maximize the number of competitive districts and prohibit drawing plans to advantage or disadvantage any political party or person.
I'm not sure that responds to Suzanne's concern.
Yeah, I mean, it still has the word maximize. I do think it helps because it says that it's part of the criteria. Because a plan may advantage or disadvantage a political party or person, just because that whole region is primarily one political party. And so you could have a plan that clearly gives an advantage to the R's or the D's just by geography, but it's not a criteria. And so I think it is clearer that these things aren't criterias. I mean, in here, it looks like they aren't. It looks like the commission's going to not draw a plan and everything's going to be competitive, and that's just not true. I mean, plans will be drawn, not with that purpose, but with that result.
Right. I thought your concern was that it was not being clearly flagged as just a criteria that's being added.
No, that's why I'm saying it does help. It helps with that, and it helps down below because it specifies that the advantage or disadvantage of any political party or person is just not part of the criteria. It doesn't say that a plan's not going to get drawn that way.
So that would add back in where, Stephen, where you have the cursor right now, adding to the criteria that the commission
Yeah, I still don't really like the word maximize, but.
Yeah.
Well, I do think it's interesting that looking back at 132 and 133 in terms of the language it proposed to section 47 on the criteria, use the same language about shall maximize the number of competitive senatorial and representative districts. Both those measures did, and we chose not to use that term
right
in the titles that we set.
Yeah.
And so I think to be consistent, because like you say, the word maximize draws certain
right,
I don't know, inferences at least. And whether it's more accurate to say, similar to what we did before, about adding competitive to the criteria.
Yeah, I prefer that. But if we could do it adding to the criteria and then draw in that next phrase. Like if we could reword it so that we have adding to the criteria, those two things.
Oh, I see.
Could just say adding to the criteria, competitiveness or something, and whatever. Go ahead.
I mean that is the wording the criteria that is added. If the Constitution is going to add a criteria that they maximize the number of competitive districts. So I feel like it's accurate.
Well, it's going to maximize after it considers everything else.
Correct.
To the extent possible.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of qualifiers in the language that aren't appearing in the title. The title implies you could read it to be that's going to be the first factor. And it's going to have this huge impact.
Okay.
And I'm not sure that's true. Might be, but...
Yeah, I'm struggling with how to try to combine those two phrases.
Well, we could just say adding again in the next line.
You want to propose?
Well, we could just say adding criteria to prohibit drawing plans.
Oh, so you're... Okay.
It's just we'd be saying it twice.
So something like adding to the criteria that the commission must follow so that plans do not advantage or disadvantage any political party or person?
Yeah. But yeah, just making clear that that's a criteria, not a result. I just think the average person could read this and think, okay, so now it's going to look like, you know, everything's going to be drawn in a vertical line from Denver down to Douglas County so that we can make sure we have equal, you know, representation and competitive districts, rather than understanding that some districts will continue to be heavy R and heavy D just because of where people choose to live.
Right.
So what do we have up top? So you're adding to the criteria that the commission must consider, right? The language we had last time? The commission must...
It just said adding competitiveness to the criteria.
Oh, okay.
For state legislative districts.
So maybe we should just put adding competitiveness to the criteria and then do our adding whatever.
To the criteria for state legislative redistricting?
We could just say to the criteria. Yeah.
I think you really need that language because, in terms of that it's used by the commission, because otherwise I don't think voters understand what criteria, or, you know, who it applies to, or, or who uses it, or...
To the criteria used by the commission?
Yeah, I mean, that gets rid of a few words.
I'm good with that.
And do we need to go back to and prohibiting drawing plans?
Well, should we just say prohibiting? You're really prohibiting that in the criteria. You're not prohibiting from happening.
Well, plus the language of the measure talks about purposefully advantage. That a plan shall not be drawn to purposefully.
Right.
So
if we've used that word, then I don't know.
So, I don't know, that's a good word to have.
So, prohibiting drawing plans to purposefully advantage or disadvantage any political party or person.
Right. I mean, I don't know. Sharon doesn't like purposefully, but intentionally.
Well, I don't know that I want to...
With malice?
...leap to any conclusion as to what that word means. I'm probably more comfortable using the terminology of the measure.
Which is purposefully.
Yes.
Okay.
Which to me is a word of limitation, so it's not just any, it prohibits completely, it's just certain types of plans that advantage or disadvantage.
Yeah.
Purposefully, I think is the language.
There you go.
Yeah, I like that.
So, because we've gone back to the two phrases, I think we need a semicolon after commission and getting rid of the and before prohibiting.
Do the proponents have any reaction to the language on lines 6 through 8? As redlined?
We're okay with that.
Remove it?
Yeah.
It's critical that competitiveness be in there. And to me, there is a distinction between maximizing the number of competitive districts versus just adding competitiveness as a criteria. I do think the other way is more accurate, but
I'd be okay with it if we put all of the other language in, and I'm just not sure we want to.
I understand we've got a brevity issue there.
Is there a need to say political competitiveness, or is competitiveness self-explanatory? I think with 132, we just said competitiveness.
Yeah.
do you prefer to?
I don't know.
I think that is actually a decent point.
Yeah.
I mean, the exact language here in subpart B does use politically competitive legislative districts. And so that is more accurate, and it's one word, so it's not a huge brevity problem.
Yeah, I actually think that's – I don't think the average voter would necessarily know what we mean by –
Stephen, do you want to put political before competitiveness on line six? We ready for a motion on lines 6 through 8?
Yep.
So I'll move that we adopt the changes reflected on lines 6 through 8 on the screen.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
And I'm fine with the proposed changes in terms of specifying it's the nonpartisan staff of the commission there on line 9. So I would move that change.
Second.
One thing I wanted to ask. No, it's only the nonpartisan staff, right? So should we say something about how those are the only people that can? Because wasn't that a concern last time that we're trying to get rid of people having these sort of backroom discussions where the party then brings in a plan? And I don't know. I'm just going to ask the proponent that, I guess.
I would be fine. Just a second. Okay. I've been informed that members of the commission can ask for plans if they do so in public. It wouldn't be entirely accurate to do that.
It wouldn't be.
It would not be.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. Then, yeah.
So then I would move the changes as appears on line 9.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And I think I'm in agreement in terms of the last changes that appear on lines 10 through 12. I mean, first of all, I don't think that changing the date upon which the court has to approve the plan is probably a major feature of the measure. And so to take that out is fine. And I do think it's more important in terms of what is required in terms of the number of commissioners to approve an action, and that's consistent with what we did in 132 and 133 last time.
Okay.
Our logic was the same as yours.
So I would move the changes that appear on lines 10 through 12.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So with 132 and 133, we added a statement saying requiring that the commission's work be done in public meetings. I think that's a significant aspect of the change. I don't know that I feel like it absolutely needs to say something like that, but I think that's a significant piece showing the transparency and openness of the proposal.
We would support the inclusion of that, and I think it could go. Perhaps just prior to specifying procedures as a separate clause, or maybe as part of the clause starting with specifying procedures.
Yeah, you could, in terms of that phrase that starts on line 8, because I do believe that this is a procedural requirement, that you could say specifying procedures that the commission must follow, including, and perhaps it's more important, well, it's debatable, but whether or not you first say requiring that the commission's work be done in public meetings and requiring the nonpartisan staff of the commission to prepare and present plans. Because there could be some of the commission's work that isn't directly related to the preparation of plans. I mean, and so to me, that's more inclusive and perhaps should appear first.
I would support that change.
I would move the changes that appear on lines 9 and 10.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I don't have anything else.
Okay. You have anything else? Opponents have anything?
No.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and read it. So this is an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning state legislative redistricting and in connection therewith, renaming the commission that redraws state legislative boundaries, change in qualification and methods of appointment of members of the commission, providing for the appointment of 12 commissioners, four of whom are registered with the state's largest political party, four of whom are registered with the state's second largest political party, and four of whom are not registered with either of the state's two largest political parties, adding political competitiveness to the criteria used by the commission, prohibiting drawing plans to purposefully advantage or disadvantage any political party or person, specifying procedures that the commission must follow, including requiring the commission's work be done in public meetings and requiring the nonpartisan staff of the commission to prepare and present plans and requiring the agreement of at least 8 of 12 commissioners to approve any action of the commission.
So I would move that we approve the title as it for number 48 as it appears on the screen.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. That takes us to number 50. And if you could just, again, introduce yourself and the proponents.
Yes. Still Ben Larson from Ireland, Stapleton, Pryor, and Pasco. Here on behalf of the designated representatives, Kathleen Curry and Tony Larson, who are the proponents of Initiative 50.
And can you just tell us what you believe the single subject of your measure to be?
Yes, the single subject of Initiative 50 is congressional redistricting.
Any questions you want to ask him about the case?
Well, whether it makes sense to do what you did on number 48 and explain how number 50 addresses the single subject concerns that were brought up by the Colorado Supreme Court in number 132 and 133, or at least incorporate your previous comments by reference.
Just for a clear record, I'll run through that really quickly again. So the first issue is that we separated out state legislative redistricting from congressional redistricting. That was the one of the concerns raised by the Supreme Court on 132 and 133. Second, we eliminated the use of the Judicial Nominating Commission in appointing the commissioners, which was the first concern that the Supreme Court had in 132 and 133. And we also addressed an open issue that the court left in its opinion on 132 and 133, which was whether the prohibition on lobbyists was a separate subject, and that has been addressed by eliminating the prohibition on lobbyists from Initiative 50.
Okay, thank you. So I believe that number 50 constitutes a single subject, and I would move that we proceed to set a title.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So I assume that many of the changes that we made on 48 may be applicable here on number 50 also?
That is proponents' understanding. That's how we made our changes. They tracked what we did with 48. So I think you know, instead of recreating the wheel, those changes that the board has adopted with respect to 48 could be moved over or adopted with the title in 50.
So Stephen's trying to confuse me with
really
I'm looking at the screen, but that's okay. So I think right now we'd start on line 3 and strike number, the word number, and the comma following the word number. And on line 4, to strike the comma that follows the word qualifications. And I don't know whether we want to go step by step or go through and make as many changes as possible and adopt them all in one motion. Is it easier to go step by step?
I don't know. I think we could adopt what we have done and then have a discussion. Yeah, I'm fine either way.
So maybe a question for Mr. Larson. Are there any significant differences in your understanding other than this is congressional redistricting versus state legislative redistricting?
There are differences with the timing, as I recall. And but as far as the substance and what should be called out in the title, no. I would say there aren't significant differences.
So I guess what I'm thinking is, could we just copy the text from 48 and change state legislative redistricting to congressional redistricting?
Well, this is a statutory measure versus
right. The
other is constitutional. And I do have one question in terms of perhaps a difference, whether or not the idea that currently the General Assembly has the responsibility, has the constitutional responsibility to do congressional redistricting, and whether that concept needs to be worked in terms of it's just not, the commission isn't just being established, it's, I don't know if the right word, being delegated the responsibility to do congressional redistricting, whether that sort of
That's
concept
fair.
Should go in. But in terms of all the other changes, I think I agree that they're probably, we could, however, the easiest way is to incorporate what we did on 48. But I think it's only at the beginning, maybe, that there might be some differences in terms of statutory versus constitutional, and then the issue I just raised.
I can't say whether the wording could just be taken, copied and pasted over entirely because of minor differences, you know, with the use of the word like congressional and things like that. But so I guess I think it would be more efficient to just manually make the same changes.
Okay.
I'd be more comfortable with that.
Well, why don't we start with the title then and see
and then go through it from there. I mean, with the subject.
Okay.
If you want to suggest something that makes it clear that we are changing rather than...
That this is something totally new and different and never been done before?
No. Yeah, that we're taking it from the General Assembly, giving it to a committee rather than just changing the makeup of a committee.
And I'd be interested in the proponent's thoughts about that in terms of indicating that this is a responsibility that the General Assembly...
The General Assembly can delegate this to an independent commission, which is being established. I guess I just don't know that common voters are going to be concerned about where the authority is coming from. So I guess I don't feel like it's critical.
Well, I don't know that it's so much in terms of where the authority is coming from, but I think it may be important that in terms of changing the fact that it's a responsibility of the General Assembly and now it's a responsibility of this independent commission. I mean, there is a change here. I mean, it's not just... We just started doing congressional redistricting.
So if the General Assembly is delegating its authority to do it, I don't want to say we're taking it away or that's just my concern. I think the concept is the General Assembly is delegating its authority to the Independent Congressional Commission, which it can, of course, do with its plenary power. So I just don't think that's critical to a voter, especially considering the track record.
Well, I just think that given that we have to put them in two different questions, I think it is going to be confusing to a voter, maybe already, that we have a question about an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning state legislative redistricting, and then we have a change concerning congressional redistricting. I just think we have to make these as different as possible so that people don't believe they are voting on the difference between maybe a constitutional amendment and a statutory initiative. I mean, there are some people who don't really distinguish between state legislative redistricting and congressional districting. I mean, they don't even see the distinction there because we're not saying federal or we're not specifying the offices. I mean, people are going to be confused enough when they see these two questions in front of them.
I think the addition of the word federal, if that makes it, I mean, that calls it out a little bit more. We don't have a problem with the addition of the word concerning federal congressional redistricting. We didn't feel like we needed to do these separately, but Supreme Court has told us we need to.
Well, and once you need to, then, we're trying to distinguish the questions. And I don't want people to become confused that you're trying to run one as a constitutional amendment and the same one as a statutory and believe that they're picking between whether they want it in the statute or the Constitution or just whatever that confusing. I mean, this is a topic that is, I think, confusing enough. And so to the extent that we can make it very clear what's being changed, I think I agree with Sharon that it's a much different change to take it to just change a makeup of a commission that already exists than it is to change the entire process so that we no longer have the General Assembly doing it, which I think may play in your favor, quite frankly. I mean, that the people who are going to vote for, you know, this notion of an independent may prefer that it be taken out of the hands of people they consider political. I mean, that's kind of the whole thrust of the measure.
Yeah, I don't
have... The General Assembly is by definition political.
I agree, and I just didn't want to necessarily characterize as something that is inaccurate from a constitutional perspective, as far as we're not taking it away, taking it out of the hands of the General Assembly. And that was really the point I was making. Otherwise, I don't have a problem with the with noting that it's being delegated from the General Assembly to the Independent Congressional Redistricting Commission.
So I'm not sure I understand that when you say you're not taking it away from the General Assembly. Isn't that exactly what this is doing?
Well, the General Assembly can delegate its duties as it pleases,
sure,
and it can do so through by statute. This is a statutory initiative, and my understanding is that the people can do anything that the legislature can do through a statutory initiative, and so that's what we're doing here.
Well, in terms of the easy way to distinguish the two measures in terms of 48 versus 50 and congressional redistricting, state legislative redistricting, I'm fine if on line one before congressional, perhaps we insert federal, so that at least makes that a little cleaner. And so to insert federal before congressional, and I would move that change.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Then in terms of the issue about what the commission is doing, and I don't really want to go in the direction of a delegation. I think at best, I'd like to go along the lines of the language that the measure uses. And so perhaps something along the lines of establishing an independent congressional redistricting commission to perform the responsibility of the state legislature to redraw congressional boundaries following each federal census. I don't want to use General Assembly because...
Yeah, no one knows what it is.
Right. I totally get that. But I do think this at least accurately describes what the measure is doing without getting into the nature of what's being done here.
Right.
But I do think it is important in terms of a change of somebody has the responsibility to do congressional redistricting now and to indicate that this is changing it from the state legislature to a new independent commission. Also, I don't know about, again, the use of the word independent.
Yes, I was going to bring that up.
I mean, whether you say, you know, establishing a congressional redistricting commission to perform the responsibility.
I think that's fine.
And so also to strike the word independent, actually you have to strike an independent, insert A. So it would be establishing a congressional redistricting commission to perform the responsibility of the state legislature to redraw, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. I like that.
What are your proponents?
We're fine with those changes.
Okay. I would then move the changes on lines 2 and 3.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Then I think that in terms of the actual appointments and how we talked before, I think maybe Steve already changed the language, or was it this draft with register? No, this, the draft the proponents had affiliated. And so the language right now that appears on 5 through 7 reflects the terminology changes that we made on number 48.
Right.
And I believe, and the proponents can confirm that, that this is still accurate in
yes.
terms of for this measure, this is how the breakdown of the 12 commissioners are appointed.
Yes.
Okay. So I think we can just, if you're ready, I would move to approve the changes that appear on lines 5 through line 7.
Is it 4 through 7, Sharon?
Did we not do that one? Okay, yeah, so lines 4 through 7. Sorry.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Then I think there needs to be, there were changes with the next phrases that start on lines, at the end of line 7 through the end of line 9. Let's see, well, no. What did we do?
Can you pull up what we did in 48?
It's a little bit different. Oh, because this one's establishing rather than adding.
Oh.
I think the difference is because the other criteria is also already specified in the Constitution. So this was an adding to the criteria rather than, I think 50 is just creating criteria. So whether or not
we could say establishing, including competitive, political competitiveness. I don't know.
Yes. I think you just say, yeah, okay. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah. So you. But I think we'd want to say establishing criteria, including.
Yeah, I think, maybe, Stephen, if you move it in a different place instead of where you dumped it, if you start with, you keep the language, establishing criteria to be used in drawing districts, including. And then we would want to strike from the red line language, you want to keep competitiveness, but to strike to the criteria used by the commission.
So you'd say including political competitiveness and prohibiting drawing plan.
Well, I think we ended up with the two freight. Well,
yeah, we did them separately, but
yeah. I don't think the prohibition is really a criteria. And then I think you could strike the language there, starting with maximizing through line 11, the semicolon.
Yeah. And then we got rid of the dates, but then we'll get to that.
With the proponents, in terms of these changes,
on 8 through 11,
right.
Yeah, we're okay with those changes. I think they faithfully try to track what happened with 48.
So then I would move the changes on lines 8 through 11 as marked on the screen.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 So then I think the next change would have been to include on line 10 after the word including, whether it was requiring.
Requiring the work of the commission.
Requiring the work of the commission be done in public meetings.
Yeah.
And requiring.
A meaning requiring, I think you need to add before that.
And so I just want to confirm with the proponents that including the work being done in public meetings, that's also a requirement in number 50, so this is inaccurate.
Yes.
Then I would move the changes that appear on lines 10 and 11.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And I think we just had an and, right? Because then we got rid of everything. Or,
yeah, because, I mean, I don't think the dates the dates are important, but I just don't know if they're, there's something that it's not very meaningful to voters.
What's the other question look like, Steve? We got rid of it, didn't we?
Yeah, we got rid of it.
But just to call one thing out, the only difference there is that on the congressional side, there was no requirement that the Supreme Court approve. And so that little bit is worked in with the dates clause. So I just wanted to flag that.
Say that one more time. I'm not sure I followed you.
If you go back to 50. Are we on 50?
50's on screen.
Oh. So yeah. It says specifying dates by which plans must
be
finalized.
Go back to 48?
No.
Okay.
Specifying dates by which plans must be finalized and approved by the Colorado Supreme Court. The dates part of that, I understand, is not critical, and we'd agree with that. But 48 didn't include the component, approved by the Colorado Supreme Court.
Because that's already part of
correct. Exactly.
That process.
So 50 does include that.
That's because right now, if the General Assembly doesn't do congressional, someone sues and it goes to court, and so there's not a process for plans to be approved similar to the state legislative redistricting.
Well, should
we just say requiring
specifying
plans
procedures, the last part, and then if somebody's interested, they can go look at it.
I mean, whether it could be specifying procedures for the finalization and approval.
Yeah. My concern is if we put the Supreme Court part in there because it's new and it's not in the other question, if people are comparing them, it looks like the other one doesn't have the Supreme Court approval part and this one,
Right.
We don't have a position on removing it.
So if we removed it, then it would just say, and specifying procedures is to be followed if the commission is unable to adopt a final plan.
Well, I mean, I don't know whether the procedures that are followed if a commission's unable to adopt a final plan whether that sort of can be lumped in with the general phrase about specifying procedures for the finalization and approval. And I don't know that I would leave in the reference to Colorado Supreme Court.
Yeah.
So just end it after
right.
finalization and approval of plans.
Of plans.
Yeah. Right. I think that's fine. And then just.
And even take up. Yeah.
But whether that's accurate, I want to hear. We might be generalizing too much. I don't know. So is it possible that the phrase that we currently have on line 13 covers both sort of the process involving the Colorado Supreme Court as well as the process if the commission's unable to finalize a plan or adopt a final plan?
I think there are different meanings to a degree, but we are okay with it.
And so that was the last phrase of the title, then we need an and inserted on line 13 after the semicolon before specifying. And I guess my other question is, would it be a plan or plans? And I'll leave that for the proponents.
And maybe that should be a final plan.
A plan.
Or a plan.
A plan, singular. Okay. I think because we have finalization and approval.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, you've got the final, would there just be one plan at the end of it all, one way or the other? So then I would move the changes that appear on lines 12 through 15.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right, should I read it? This is a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes concerning federal congressional redistricting and in connection therewith establishing a Congressional Redistricting Commission to perform the responsibility of the state legislature to redraw congressional boundaries following each federal census, specifying the qualification and methods of appointments of members of the commission, providing for the appointment of 12 commissioners, four of whom are registered with the state's largest political party, four of whom are registered with the state's second largest political party, and four of whom are not registered with either of the state's two largest political parties, establishing criteria to be used in drawing districts, including political competitiveness, prohibiting drawing plans to purposely advantage or disadvantage any political party or person, developing procedures to be followed by the commission, including requiring that the commission's work be done in public meetings, and requiring nonpartisan staff of the commission to prepare and present plans, requiring the agreement of at least 8 of 12 commissioners to approve any action of the commission, and specifying procedures for the finalization and approval of a plan.
So I would move that we adopt for number 50 the title as it appears on the screen.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. So those are adopted. And anyone wishing to request a rehearing must do so within 7 days. And the time is 1:45, and we are adjourned.
Oh, sure.